Orange in the Central West, 105.1 Triple M. We're brought to you thanks to Harvey Norman in the Orange Grove Homemaker Centre. Time to talk all things agriculture now. Joining us online, Bruce Reynolds, good morning to you.
G'day, Neil.
Now, let's talk about the wet weather. There's been plenty of it, more again yesterday. How are the dams looking?
Well, the dams have certainly risen and risen quite dramatically across our region. We've, of course, seen Orange's main water supply, Suma Park Dam, overflow. But the big irrigation dams have moved up substantially. We've got Burrendong Dam moving towards 80% of capacity. We've got Karkor Dam just under 50%. But the big mover is Wyangla Dam, which is technically now full. So it's below 100%, but they do allow airspace in Wyangla Dam. So that's certainly been a big rise there for particularly Wyangla Dam in the last 3 or 4 weeks with all that rain we've had around.
All right, the Lachlan flows downstream of the dam. So how's it being managed to reduce the impact of floods along the Lachlan?
So, as I mentioned, they don't allow it to get to 100% or try not to get to 100% unless there's a big inflow. So, at around about, I think it's about 93% of capacity, which it's exceeded. It's around 95% at the moment. They start making releases. So, what they call airspace in the dam releases. And so, they're releasing roughly around about 9,000 megalitres a day from Wyangla Dam at the moment into the Lachlan River to try and take off the top of any big inflows that we may encounter if we do get a major weather event. So it's trying to give that bit of space in the dam, but also allowing a certain amount of water to go downstream and meet up with other waters. But luckily, we've seen flooding in the Bulubula system around Canoundra a few days ago, and that water is now down around Cotton's Weir, which is down around the Forbes area. So the releases now are behind that. So while there is minor flooding in the Lachlan River, it shouldn't be at this stage major flooding from the previous rain events that we've just encountered.
So good news that they're releasing it. And of course, it's good for ecosystems downstream.
Well, certainly is, both environmental. So there's some water is spilling out over with that minor flooding that has occurred. And we've had moderate flooding, of course, around Canoundra a few days ago that lasted for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Good environmental flows, but right down the river, as in right down to Hilston, some of the earlier flows, we had flooding there a couple of weeks ago around Canoundra. That water is starting to make its way towards Lake Jelligo and Hilston, passing through Condobolin. So, look, there's some good translucent flows that are going down the river for environmental purposes. And eventually, you've got the Cumbung wetlands right down the bottom around Oxley on the Lachlan River. So some of that water will make its way into those wetlands and help both the environment and also agricultural producers in that part of the world.
Yeah, good news. All right, let's talk about the wet conditions with regard to on-farm. I'm guessing the machinery will be struggling getting around paddocks at the moment, but we're also into lambing as well. What impact's this wet weather having on lambing and lamb survival rates?
Well, particularly those windy conditions when you get that snow or sleet that we saw over the weekend, that makes it a lot harder for lambs, particularly newborn lambs, to survive. A lot of producers heed the warnings, the graziers' warnings, but no matter what you do, there's always a risk, and there have been a few lamb losses, not substantial that I've heard of, but a few producers have seen some losses of lambs. But at this time of the year, you do expect that you may lose the odd one. But again, important to keep an eye out for sheep graziers' warnings, because generally you do have those windy and cold conditions. And as you also mentioned, as in particularly utes going around paddocks and other equipment, I've heard of a few vehicles getting bogged out in paddocks, and even getting livestock trucks in to pick up livestock on farm tracks and into the stockyards, as in some of the tracks aren't like a normal road. And so I've heard that there's been a few trucks that have had sticky situations to get out of. So it's having an impact, but overall, generally very positive.
All right, quickly, mate, there's a Senate inquiry underway into meat labelling and the labelling of alternative proteins. So what are the concerns with regard to that and the livestock industry?
Well, the big concern is to label a product that's, for example, if you use the word beef or veal or lamb for a product that has no beef, veal or lamb in it. And that's the big concern from industry. Now, it's one sector of agriculture versus another sector, I suppose you could say, because you're looking at, you know, for example, with almond milk, for example, as in it comes from horticulture, which is part of agriculture. So there is a difficulty. And, you know, some may say that the horse is bolted. You can already buy chicken chips, for example, which are potato crisps. So, you know, there is some labelling already, but the concern is that to move across to, you know, to have the beef burger that has actually no beef in it at all, or the lamb burger, or a lamb product that has no lamb in it at all. So it really comes down to truth in labelling, I think, is what industry would like to see, to make sure that if it doesn't have a particular product in it, that you shouldn't use those terms when labelling that product.
Yep, fair enough. All right, I'm with Bruce Reynolds talking all things agriculture this morning. I thank you, mate, for the time and the information. Have a good day.
Thanks very much, Neil.